But it's quite clear he's here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, I just stopped by to encourage somebody this morning to let them know that Jesus is alive and well. I want somebody to tell you that Jesus is still in the miracle working business. Jesus is still King of Kings. Jesus is still Lord of Lords. Jesus is still the creator of heaven and earth. Nothing has changed. I know we're in a season and a time that all kinds of things have been released in the earthly realm. But God is still on the throne. Somebody got to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The King is still King. The Lord is still Lord. His presence is real. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, right now, I'm not here to cheer you on. I'm invoking the presence of God to move in the midst of us. And I'm telling you, if you want it, you have to receive it. God is a gentleman. He will not force anything on anybody, but he will give you all of what he's got. Somebody shout hallelujah. What a good God. What a great God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I'm talking to the church this morning, the ecclesia, the called out one, not the building, the people.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just to encourage you, according to the scriptures in Psalms 133, he said, how sweet and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Togetherness is important. This is a new season for us, and we're going to come together to see the big picture and the plan of what God's trying to do. I know God's trying to do something here at Harvest. Okay, in the multiple avenues he's given us to pursue, he's doing something in the midst of us. And so I'm not going to be before you long because I have a speaker for you this morning, a great man of God that I believe is dynamic and been with me for quite some time. I believe in him. I believe in his ministry. And he's going to come forth and do what God has given him to do. And speak to us today, and we would invite you out to get part of this at Harvest. And so again, we're going to invite you out next week. We're going to be doing a community fair day on next Saturday. Next Sunday, we're going to be doing a friends and family. We're inviting you out. All of this is going to take place here at Harvest. Because why? The presence of God dwells in this place, and we want you to experience it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would y'all just applaud me for Pastor Bruce as he comes. He's a great man of God, relationship man, friend of mine, son of mine, son of God. I could go on and on and on about who he is, but let God do the work through him. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
We want to lead and serve in the kingdom, God. To bring people out of darkness through your anointing, through your power, through your word. We recognize, Father, that the enemy wants the mind.
He does.
We know it, God. You said it in your word. Thank you for it. And we're going to fight. As long as you allow us to give us the power, the anointing, to fight this fight, to bring people out of darkness through Christ Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so excited about God's word. I'm more excited about the word today than I was yesterday. Come on. I can't stop what I learned. I want to know more and more and more how to help. Because we hear the cries. We hear the sorrows. We feel the pain of people that the enemy has trapped. Has trapped. And this trapping is in the mind. This mind game has been going on ever since God said, we will make man in our image. Ever since that, the enemy has been trying to take the image of God out of your mind. So you don't walk victorious. He wants you to walk as a victim. So you can spill that victim mentality on that victim mentality on everybody. He wants to wound you, hurt you, damage you, corrupt you.
Yeah, he do.
To make you down, sad, trodden, hurt, wounded, sad, my bills. You know, Pastor Ray, I appreciate you, brother. And I gotta tell the people, when you got bills, it ain't his fault. Don't come to pathway for you about your bills. I tried it. It don't work. He ain't gonna pay them. If you behind the bill, the antidote is in the word. Not just tithe and offering, but changing your mind, how you function. Oh my God.
That's good right there.
It's amazing. You know, when I read about Paul's teachings, I wanted to know how he got to this mindset. You know, because when you hear about Paul is this guy who was a Roman soldier, right, that God flipped during the time he was persecuting the church, right? And from this standpoint, I want to know how he flipped from one thing to the next thing, to a God thing. Because he thought he was right. He thought what he was doing, he was dedicated. He was one of the best at doing what he was doing, rounding them up. But did you understand in Acts that Stephen was stoned at Paul's feet? And he never said a word. He never said, ouch, I'm hurting, don't do that. He said, I see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he was at Paul's feet when he said this. This man come around these people up. And here was this guy that was spinning round up, praising God. In the midst of being pain, in spite of his situation. He said, I see. That blew me away. I want to research Paul's mindset a little more. And come, you know how the Bible talks about Paul as a citizen of Rome? To be called a citizen, you was in a high order of the people. You weren't just an ordinary PR. You weren't just somebody working in the field. You was considered a citizen, like a senator, or someone with prestige and high class, come from a well-groomed family. So his citizenship, whom God knew, God knew, if I can get him. And see, one of the things about Paul's attitude, Paul was concentrated on his task. Whatever the task he was given, he concentrated on it and learned how to do it with excellence. God knew it. God said, because God knows, God ain't after the perfect. He wants those that are broken. He wants to break you. He wants to get those that are broken. healed them. Now they got a testimony and a story to tell of the power and the anointing of God. You got one. We all got one. How God took it out of darkness and brought us into a light, into his light. Praise God. Turn your Bible to it's coming this morning. It's coming tomorrow. You're going to get some power with this word. Because it is about Jesus. Second Corinthians. You got me excited now. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Verse 5.
Well, let's start at verse 3. And see, you got to understand something about this body we live in. You got to understand something. You know, the enemy is what he wants your mind. Once he gets your mind, now he can destroy everything about you and everybody around you.
Amen.
He wants to make you a broken vessel. He wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy everything about you because you're made in the image of God. Listen. One time Jesus, after Jesus started his ministry, the first thing he went to, you remember the first place he showed up at? Y'all remember? A wedding. A wedding. That's the pastor. He showed up at a wedding. He showed up at his pastor's celebration of the wedding. God created the institution of wedding, a marriage. It was God was the first institution that God created, marriage. It's powerful. The devil wants to destroy that. But Jesus came to his first assignment. He went to a wedding to celebrate with his father institution, a marriage. His mother said, they said they had no wine. His mother looked at Jesus and said, they out of wine. You know what he said to his mother? No disrespect to moms. He said, what that got to do with me? He said, what that got to do with me? I come to celebrate with my daddy's institution. And here you talk about the wine. So, Jesus did, his mother said, do what he asked. He never repented after he said that he didn't say anything. He said, whatever he said, do, you do. He gave them the wine. They said the best wine for last. No, he only got the best wine. He only got the best wine. You ask him for it, he give you his best.
Amen. Amen.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And this is the issue that we have going on right now. A lot of people are warring after the flesh. After the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. So this is where the enemy wants to get you. He wants to get a stronghold in your mind. That word, stronghold, in the Greek, is translated into castle or fortress. Castle or fortress. So this castle or fortress is a double meaning, castle and fortress, and also prison. So the stronghold in your mind is a castle, a fortress, or a prison. Nothing gets in, and nothing comes out. He wants to keep you locked in your mind to whatever trauma, whatever issue, or whatever lie that was told to you. Now, I got this thing that when I'm doing counseling, I got to find out the people sitting in front of me. I want to know how you got to this issue that you're so affection about that something has happened to you that's gone on that made you so outraged or angry or so upset that made you feel that you want to destroy your marriage, destroy your job, destroy the people around you. You're so angry, so upset. I want to find out what, how you got to this place in your life. Turn to Psalms 9 and 10. Listen to this. Psalms 9 and 10. See, the devil that will give up on distilling your thoughts of God. If he can plant a lie in your mind, he can destroy how you see your world. This whole thing, he has to plant a lie in your mind to keep you in a prison behind a wall. And then if something happened while you're in that prison, in that lockdown, as a prisoner in your mind. This is the whole trick. Psalms 9 and 10. The days of our years are three score years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be four score years. Yet that their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and fly away. You know, you hear that at a funeral, don't you? That ain't about a funeral. It's letting you know that God has promised you 70. That's 70 years. A score is 20 years. He's promised you three of them. If you do well by strength, take care of your mind, your body, you know what I mean, and the word of God, you know, work it out, doing what you need to do, you'll get another score. So you'll get 40 years and more, and more, and more. Praise God, until your body can't take no more. Then you fly away. Well, the devil wants to meet you in your first score.
Yeah, he does.
He wants to meet you in your first score.
Yeah, he does.
Your first 20 years of living. He wants to destroy you in that first score.
That's right.
Now remember.
Talk about it.
Remember when you were 15? Not 15. Yeah. Are you 15? Are you 9? What happened to you that traumatized you, offended you, broken you, rejected you? What happened to you and your first score? Come on.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody was wounded in our first score.
You're right.
There was something that happened in your first score. And you struggled.
You're right. That's right.
You struggled in your first 20 years of living. That happened too. I hear you. Yeah, that happened too. Yeah, they did that to you too. But look, whatever they did, it wasn't about you. It's how the devil made you feel about it. It's how the devil made you feel about it. My mom and dad broke up. They got, I know that's traumatizing. Now, I have no father in the house. I'm my mom's own brother. My sister and brother fussing and fighting. And here I am in the midst of this chaos. And it played. It made me so upset, so enraged, I acted out on what I was living in.
Uh-huh.
My environment dictate how I see my world.
Uh-huh.
Now the lies in me, I'm at behind this castle, this wall, and I'm a prisoner of these thoughts. Listen. These thoughts dictate ideology. Ideology. I haven't looked like I've said ideology. But ideology makes you an ideology. what that means is how your thoughts dictate how you feel and your principles of how you live based on what you feel and see in your world. How you feel in your world, how you see your world. Now you're looking through this damaged emotional ideology concept that the lie was planted in your first score.
Yeah, right. Talk about that. Talk about that.
You look at these young people cheating on each other and talking. And they got something on in them that the devil planned, and they are victims.
That's right.
They're not entertainment. They're not something to be angry with. I like to talk about. No, don't talk about. Help them. They need us. They need our God. They need Jesus. They need saving. They're hurting. Your God was here last week, had an issue. What he needed was in here. But in his mind was bothering so bad, and the devil told him something before he came to get the word. Before he came to church, says he heard something. He kept walking out of here when the word was going on. The deliverance was here, but he couldn't receive it because the devil had him in prison of his issue in his mind. He was outside, sitting on the curb, crying outside of the church. He did. It was bothering. What he was hearing was bothering him. Not what was being heard, what was he hearing in his mind. Outside on the sidewalk crying. And it was about money. The very thing that would help him was here, about money. I said, oh my God. I said, brother, go back inside. And let the Lord work. Hear the word of God. Okay, I'm going. He came. He said, 5 minutes. Well, I don't think it was 5 minutes. Come out here. Tears. So when somebody hurt him, they used him. They abused him. Turn to Mark 4.
There you go.
You know, you have to learn to create your mind to concentrate. If you can't concentrate on the word of God, then the devil will rob you and cause you to lose focus on what the word will do.
Say that again, Pastor Bruce.
If you can't concentrate. This is like music. They have to concentrate on every note, every beat to get the song to fulfill its purpose. So they got to concentrate. They can't be trying to figure out which one. They had to concentrate. They had to concentrate. So the sound, they got to concentrate. The devil wants to make you lose your concentration on who you are. So you got to get that one sound. So if you can't concentrate on who you are, you get all kinds of sounds in your mind.
That's right.
And you won't recognize who you are. And nobody else recognizes who you are. Because it's on him. He hasn't been concentrating. Yes, he has on the wrong thing. He's a prisoner in his mind. Prisoner. You know, I was there. We were all there. We're all prisoners. Look, I got to say, I was 18. I didn't know better. I backslid from 18 to 35. 10,000 times. Every time I was off the call, I was there. Didn't say it all over. Because my feelings dictated that I was out of, I needed help. So I go to the altar. So I really found out through the word that I was. You know, he don't reject, I'm backslide, yes. But I'm still there. I say I'm still there. But in my mind and my feelings, I didn't feel that.
Until
I got the whole other word of God. And I started putting my feelings to bed. But they'll wake up on you. In the midnight hour, your feelings will wake up. And when they wake up, they ain't coming alone. Mark 4. Look, Jesus was teaching this master class to the disciples. This is a master class. This is a powerful class. We've been over years and years and years, we've read this. Everybody read it, cares the world. But this is what Jesus taught, explaining. He was trying to get you to understand that your soul is in jeopardy. And the devil has so many tools to grab your soul, and your soul is comprised of your mind and your emotions and your will. Because what you will, you will. If you will not, God still loves you, but you will not. You know, the Bible said, well, it said, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. No, he didn't. He released them because they didn't want him. When he, when God stops, when God releases you, you're going your own way.
That's it.
You may be still born again, but you're going your own way. It's most dangerous, Pastor. Yeah, that's people think they got it. They think they know. I said, bro, people all day long at work, they think they know. I have to be quiet until the anointing, proper time, avails itself.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you just rush in, they'll hate you. You gotta wait. You gotta wait. Because they'll come around.
Right.
If you went to this, amen, Bible, what God said, you walk in with your Bible, you know, Bible this big, and the Bible said, the Lord said, the devil said, yeah, I got you now. Yeah. And then when you mess up, all they're gonna think about that big Bible you have in your heart and how you messed up. I thought you was a Christian. I thought you was a pastor. No. You gotta wait. It's private time with you and the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Now, Jesus told me, was teaching this lesson about the soul.
Come on, where you at, man? Okay, so.
And
so,
they understood the agricultural system of how the seed was sown and all. They understood that. But they didn't understand the purpose.
I'm
and
only
the
1 through 10.
Of the so, in verse 13, Jesus had a great parable down to him. Praise God. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Once you understand this one, you will understand all the rest of them. But you got to get this one. You got to get this one. This is class number one. He said, and this is a master class. Master class. He said, the sower sowed the word. The seed is the word. He said, word. This is Jesus said word. This is written over 2,000 years ago. I mean, where have them? It's been there the whole time. It ain't hidden. It ain't in no code. It said word. The sower sowed the word. And these are by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, Satan. Satan coming immediately. And that word in the Greek
and take it away.
A while ago. He's already got to deal with you a while. Satan dealt with you a while ago in your mind. So when you hear the word, and he said immediately, and take away, he take away the word that was sown in their hearts, their soul. And these are likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They praise the God, oh, that word is good, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. I'm going to get my life together with the church. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to focus on His word. And the devil said, yeah, but let me throw these afflictions first. Let me see, because I know you. You can't handle no affliction. I've been doing affliction for a long time. They will only come Sunday, Pastor, to get one rock. They wouldn't come to Bible study at all, rocks out there. So I can ask a question about this rock in me. They only want to come when it feels good to them. They don't concentrate on the pursuit of righteousness. They only come for a time. So the word only works for a short time. Because the devil said, I know you. You can't have an affliction. Let me send this dope about your bills early this month. A little bit early this month. And they always come on the 4th, but here one come on the 1st. In another envelope. In another envelope. You know, they yell at me. They scare yell at me. Oh my God. It's really real now. It's upon me. And then it says, verse 17, verse 18. And these are they which are sown on among thorns. Now these thorns, they've been bruised.
Yeah.
They've been bruised. They've been hurt for a long time. They got hurt in their first score. They've been bruised in their first 20 years of living. Been bruised. She did, I said, he did, what they told me. All that is a bruise. I was watching this video. This young man was pumping gas. His girlfriend was in the car. And she was on her phone, like young girls do. She was on her phone. He pumping gas. And he happened to look through the window and see her texting Mark, telling him, when he drops me off, I'll come see you. So he get in the car, and he had this long argument about who you texted and what you're going to do after I drop you off. She said, well, you cheated on me. He said, that was years ago. What that got to do with that? It's the argument. The argument is not about what you did years ago. Talk about what you're doing now. Know what he ended up doing? It took him a while for a bunch of emotional words. He put her out.
Right there.
There you go.
But she'll be back. She'll be back.
What's up?
She'll be back. She'll be back because he's angry now. But if you concentrate on the word of God, when she do come back, you pray for her. Yes. Thorn. Bruise. 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, and your cell phone that flips over to the old page, enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Oh. And these are which are sown among good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Between the hearing and receiving, there was a change. Between hearing and receiving, there was a change. Receive it and bring it forth fruit. Turn to Galatians 5. Let's look at the fruit. It says fruit. It didn't say fruits. It says fruit. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. See the word Spirit? Is Spirit. See the big, the capital S? That's the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The first one is what? What's the first one? What? From that, from that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, all those other things are available to walk through, to utilize, to be about. But you have to realize that the devil wants to keep you behind the walls as a prisoner in your mind. And the devil, renewing your mind is like kryptonite to the devil. When you renew your mind, now he is true. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, and the devil said, "Thou shouldst, if Jesus told him, it's the word, buddy. It's about that word. It's about that word." Praise God. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter. I'm not going to be for you, though. I'm not going to be for you, though. I'm going to hit 2 Corinthians 10. Let's go to verse 4. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Five. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought, woo, to the obedience of Christ. Woo. Listen at this. The word imagination in the Greek is the word logos. Logos. This is where we get the word logic. There are two types of imagination. There is the logical imagination, and there are the illogical imagination. The logical imagination is when God, it says, the logical imagination is when the Holy Spirit tells you to give a certain amount in the offering. And your logical imagination, they said, I can't give that much in the offering because, and you try to put your logic. I wouldn't be able to pay my bill. I wouldn't be able to pay it back. I wouldn't be able to pay my bill. Just like that, you logically talk to the, you know, try to maneuver around the Holy Spirit, telling you what to do, right? Yep. And the illogical imagination is when somebody is believing. And they look in the mirror and say, I'm too fat. Their mind tells them, you got too much weight. See, that's a prison. Logically, you talk yourself against what God told you to do. You know what's right. But then, illogical is when you're in front of a mirror and you know what's right. Now you see what's wrong, and you think you're right by making the choice against what's really wrong. The enemy wants to take. See, when it comes to relationships, you have to be attracted to that person.
Mm-hmm. Of opposite sex.
Your attraction allows you to be introduced to that person. I'm introduced to them. I'm attracted. Like I'm attracted to the lady. I was attracted, you know. I said, I'm going to beat her. I'm going to put on my best. I'm going to beat her. I was attracted. My attraction gives me opportunity for the introduction to the relationship. Now, really what I need intimacy.
Yeah, sir.
I need to be hugged. I want to relate. Now, come on. I want to be in a relationship. So my attraction gives me the opportunity to be introduced because she's attracted to me. Now, the ultimate goal is not sex. Not sex. Listen to me now. The ultimate goal and most attraction towards the relationship is to get to holy matrimony.
That's it.
Holy.
But the enemy wants whatever you got damaged in your first score to be hidden based on how you flirtate and all the other things you do to hide your baggage from your first score that never got dealt with in your second score. And now you're approaching your third score and you don't want to be lonely no more. So you put up your attraction again to bring somebody into the work, to the realm.
Wow, man!
When they fall in
man,
who they was attracted to, then the real character from the first score that damaged locked in prison in their minds and behind a pack, a wall, a fortress. Then they sit in front of a counselor and try to lie and say, "You did this to me." I can't talk about the lie. We ain't gonna talk about the lie. Let's find out your personality style.
Yeah.
How you've been walking through your first, second, third score. We're gonna find out your personality style. Because within your personality, that personality was part of the good side that attracted you to her or to him. But But there is a weakness of your personality that was really the foundation of your fault. Your biology, how you think, how you've been living, and the glass you've been looking for. That has to be dealt with first. But we talk about what they did to you today. Once you feel a bit, now I ain't gonna say what it is. You gonna feel a bit more, God. You gonna tell yourself what your personality type is. And listen, there's only four basic personalities, y'all. God ain't gonna make all. If you make four basic personalities, whatever whoever did to you in your first score, you gonna run into them again. In another body. Another body, but not the same personality. And it's gonna trigger. That person will trigger what happened to you in your first score. The awesome thing about the attraction that God has given us, and God is awesome. He wants us to be in fellowship and love. He wants holy matrimony. He wants you to be walking in the power of your anointing. Do you know, listen, to understand that my character depends on how I see myself on the inside. My character depends on how I see myself on the inside.
That's good right there, right?
On the inside, yes. Not what I'm showing the public.
Yeah. Come on down.
But I'm on the inside.
Come on.
Your thinking determines your emotions. Your emotions determine your decision. Your decision determines your action.
Help us, God.
Your actions determine your habits.
Say that again, man.
Your habits determine your character.
Don't do that again, man.
So you see your character. Look, after the attraction honeymoon stage is over, then the real you show up, and somebody talk about you need to get that fixed. Who do you think you talk about? Wrong man. Oh, I'm a grown woman. No, we talk all that. You talk about the stuff you've been dealing with all since your first score. You hid it from me for 5 years. I love you.
You better say it again.
You have something wrong with you? I mean, let's just admit it. You've been nasty, you've been mean, you've been selfish, you've been greedy, you've been conniving. You hid it for a long time. I seen the flag with my love and my attraction kind of blinded me from the flag. And then when the flag got really red, I got a
wow.
I got really, really upset, and now I'm bringing it to you. Don't say that's not. Let's go get some help. Ain't no man will tell you what to do. Ain't nobody trying to tell you what to do. We're trying to get you out of that prison. We're trying to get you out of that prison. We're trying to get the walls down. We're trying to get you out of Jericho. We're trying to bring the walls down. And that's why Jesus said, when they heard it, they endured for a time, but had no root in themselves. When afflictions, persecution, care of this world, deceit of riches, enter in and choke what little bit of word they heard. Because they only want Sunday word. After Sunday, they don't do no studying, no teaching, no chasing, no kingdom. Only when the bread, when the yellow envelope comes for the bill. Now, God help me. God help me. They're going to take my car. They're going to put me up my place. They told me this last day on my job. They told me, go home. You know what? If God gave you a job, you have to think, well, that was the last job God had. All you got to do is concentrate on what's important. And the thing that's important today is the word of God. Without the word, we lost. My word, I hid in my heart. I had to hide the word in my heart. I had to hide that word so I would snap out on you. If my feelings don't tell me, act out again. No, I'm putting my feelings to rest. I know it's trying to wake up. It won't call me. My feelings won't call me. It won't wake up. When it wakes up, it won't act no crazy. No! I need that word. Could you imagine? Paul wrote this. When he said, oh, wretched man that I am, Who can save me from these villains? Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Paul said, things I would do when I would do good, evil was present. Yes. Can you imagine all the people he slayed? Those voices, that blood, that smell of that torturing that he did was trying to haunt him while he was in prison by himself, trying to capture his mind again. And God revealed to him, your imagination.
Jesus Christ.
Mighty. God, pulling out you all.
Yes,
bringing every thought into a being. Every thought. Yes. I mean, this is awesome. Awesome. The man didn't go to church. He was a Hebrew. He didn't go to church. But he heard God when he got knocked on the behind. He knew it was God. Everybody knocked Paul down. What God?
But God.
But God. Blinded him, took his sight. Knowing the mind is the most powerful thing in the world. You don't like the shit, she's upset that you renew your mind. Don't try to change them, change him. Change you. Once you listen. Once the guy that put the girl in the car, once he changed your mind, the Holy Spirit will fill that need that was for her. He won't need her no more. He will see a new day.
Yeah.
He'll recognize that I don't have to put up with somebody cheating on me, lying to me, right in the midst of my presence. The real you has not been revealed to you yet. We're still in the supernatural realm. The real us is Christ Jesus on the inside, the image of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also Christ Jesus. So that not robbed him, but he humbled himself. Woo! To become a servant. A servant. We're serving kingdom principles. People. We serve people. Stop trying to serve yourself.
Oh, it's so good. I have to go over there. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I left my focus. Jesus Christ.
I want you to listen very closely. Proverbs. Proverbs, first chapter. Every time I show people this, sit at the table, some of us people shake. I show too. Proverbs, first chapter. Let me show you my favorite scripture.
Proverbs 1.
I'm shaking that. Proverbs.
Which? What verse?
First chapter, first verse. Because you got to understand something about it. First chapter, first verse. There we go.
I see
it moving.
That's first verse.
There it is. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Hold right here. Don't let you know that this son, this king, this son, was in relationship with God on multiple different things under his kingship, his leadership. He had to get the wisdom to be a leader and a man to help people. This didn't come from God at the bar, give you a drunken wisdom.
Wow!
Your body, or smoking a joint, or tell you what the devil told him, that's wisdom. This is highly godly wisdom, son of David, king of Israel, to let you know, come from high order. High order.
Wow.
Next verse.
Wow.
To know wisdom and the instructions for to perceive the word of understanding. So wisdom always comes with instruction.
Wow.
Always.
Come on.
God didn't give you the wisdom without the instruction. Wisdom always comes with instruction. Wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Wisdom comes with instruction. Check this out. It says to perceive the word with understanding. How do you perceive what God's showing you? Instructions. What lens are you perceiving the man? I tremble every time right now. Because this wisdom will come with instruction. But can you perceive instructions?
Can you perceive it?
This is the goody goody bang bang. I'm telling you, look, he's going to give you instruction. He's going to give you wisdom. You ask for it. You ask for it. To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and what y'all say?
Equity.
What y'all say?
Equity.
Come on, guys. Oh, that's what the Western world calls money.
Yeah, that's money.
Let me tell you what God calls it. When you apply the instructions that you receive from wisdom and apply the right justice, judgment to it, right judgment. That's your feeling. The right justice, you get equity. You know what equity is? Fairness. You get the fair value from the instructions from the wisdom that you receive that God gave you. Justice and judgment. You get the fairness.
What?
I'm living my bonus round getting
there. There you go.
I know it. I know it, Pastor Ray. I know I'm living my bonus round with fairness of God. Because I've been trying to apply justice and judgment without my feelings getting to dictate how I feel about what I'm doing. And it's not easy. It's hard. People beat up on you all day long. They talk about you. I have to apply the right justice and judgment so I can still enjoy my fairness. My fairness.
What? Jesus!
Are you perceiving what God is saying? Can you perceive these instructions from wisdom? What are you seeing in your world? Renew your mind and watch the devil flee.
Power of a renewed mind. Great word. Power of a renewed mind. How many of you desire to have your mind renewed today? Glory to God.
Amen.
Every hand should be up, because if you don't, then you're okay and comfortable with what you got already. So now, if God's going to be good, you got to be open. Because remember, I told you there's an atmosphere of reception here, and you got to be willing to receive what God wants to do. And so in that atmosphere, God can change some stuff. Amen. And so I'm sharing with you to be open to allow God to do the changing. Because we as people, as human, I can't change anybody. But God can change everybody. Remember, he said, I created you in my image. He was talking to himself about you. The very thing he loves. So what a great word, because now, you know, this is where God has us.
And so to be the ecclesia that called out one, why did he call them out? Because I need to change their mind. Because they're going to be the one to help me change the world. Don't get me. I called them out of church. I called them out of darkness. So I could change their mind. So they can help me change the world. Because everything he's going to do, he's going to do through people. But he's already done it. We just got to receive him here so we can do it. A renewed mind. My goodness. This is what God's doing here. I believe God's sharing some things with me, you know, in harvest here. And I want to encourage all of you that's here and been here and part of it. Don't base things off of what it looks like. I hate babies. People said they hate me. They say that, but it's true. That's what he was talking about then. Because I have it, I have experienced it with people's lives. So I try to stay away from feelings and try to get the word on. So there's some people struggling to operate in their life right now because of how they feel.
I seasoned it last night, so it's going to be good to see.
It could be a number of different things.
I tried to cook.
They're real to you.
I cooked two bags over the last week.
Pressure.
To work on
anxiety.
Program for Stacy.
Nervousness.
And video.
The pressure.
It's going to take me some time.
There are things
of pressure. I have no time to cook.
Okay, so don't misconstrue me here when I'm talking about some. But I'm telling you. A renewed mind and the word of God can come.
We ain't gonna cook it.
I know.
We have to find that place.
We have to find that place. But it's in the word of God
because it is designed.
Yeah, I got some shrimp creole.
I want to tell you something because I want to tell you about how valuable you are.
So I'm gonna see how it tastes when I get home. I didn't eat it yesterday because I ate so much other stuff.
You are so valuable to the kingdom of your God. He brings these things on.
The restaurant stuff. Love it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah. I went there for lunch one day.
So I'm trying to tell somebody else to be encouraged. This is not a slight
general toast chicken.
It's an enemy. Job is to steal.
Those rolls they
kill,
that
destroy.
Cream cheese butter they got.
I did.
What God has called you to do is be. And then you were supposed to share something with me.
Rice was
say and they would talk to me.
It's a good restaurant.
Will not accomplish what he said you to do. So the enemy is strategic. And what a subject that I love that he opened up there. Renewed mind. I want to encourage us that we spend the next couple days, we've got to renew our mind and God's doing something
altar
different.
Call, man.
Time
altar
is
call.
Different.
Altar.
Right? I can I share with you? I was looking at Alana. When she was up here singing, so I'm gonna be honest with y'all, right? She's up here. But Alana, to me, I need to encourage her, represents the next generation.
Yes.
That's right, we ought to applaud. Because that's the young lady that could be anywhere, but she here. Right? So you showed me something, I want to encourage you. But she here. Because she wants something different for her life. And for her child. But instead, because if we don't know her, or know we look different, or think different. Right? And what caught my attention is that she got her sneakers that match her shirt, right? And I was like, that's her style. That ain't ours. But it's hers.
That's right.
And we're going to stop. Who told us to be judgmental? What makes that not make us not? So I just think, because I really want us to be holistic as a church, I want you to be well. Don't change your style for somebody else. Be you. Until you come as you are, but be willing to don't stay as you are. Allow God to do the changing. I need you to remain be you. Be you. Right? But all of us together represent the kingdom. And that has to start here. Otherwise, we'll want to create everybody to look alike, sound alike. That is not God. The only thing that we're supposed to have together in common is one God. One Lord.
Fry your fish.
One Holy Spirit.
Fish batter can use to fry your fish.
The one word.
I die, the veterans.
Like a yellow bag?
Yep. Yeah. And the word of God. There's another one.
It's where we are.
In a blue.
I'm encouraged but today.
But really, it's just cornmeal and seasonings.
That's
and
why
a little
I wanted
flour.
To share, y'all. How many of y'all?
It's just easy.
Sorry.
And I put it all in a Ziploc.
Everybody's ready.
Throw the fish in.
Right? So I need you, Faith. I need help. You got a cell phone. And if you got Facebook or email or any of those mechanisms, right? And everybody got one. Anybody in here don't have one?
I already knew
Sister Debbie was going to raise her hand and say, she ain't either. But hey, everybody else. So what I'm saying, next week we have a community day. Next week we have a Friends event. So I need two favors. I need everybody in here. I'm asking everybody. I'm asking as your pastor. Now, let me make sense. You remember, Pastor Bruce said, and this is what I thought of, Solomon referred to his father, David. I consider myself a spiritual father. I consider myself a spiritual leader. I can say I'm about being considered myself.
Oh,
God made me that.
So, I want to be on the
road. And I'm ashamed of it. Uh-huh. I'm glad that he did.
So, I might be able to talk
my stepson is here.
Okay.
And he will tell you that I'm his father. That he had a natural father who is no longer here in the earth. But I have always received him as my son from the day I met him. Now, he knows that in his heart. I didn't make that up. So am I his father?
Yes.
If you don't believe me, ask him. Right? Yeah. So share that with me, guys. The reason I'm saying that, I'm asking y'all something as your father. I'm asking you to help.
That's fine, dude.
I'm asking you to help me do something because now I'm putting the burden on the people. I suppose that he sent y'all to help. We're servant leaders. So I ask y'all to do two things. Both days, community fair, we're going to have food, giveaway, things happening here, right? Elder will talk about it more. Pastor Rob has helped put it together. We have vendors here. I need everybody to be part of it. Get back in touch with everything. See who we can get, what we can get. We need to, if we put it on WDL, you need to call them back up, put it back on there. Call them, ask them to do it again. Say, we rained out last week, but we're here this week. And then we talk about friends and family. I want y'all to invite a friend or family that you know need the word of God. And by the way, everybody needs the word of God, not because they're just in trouble. Most of us came to God because we're in trouble. Right? Once you get there, then how much blessed are they to get there before they get in trouble? So we need to do that. So I want you to do two things. Invite 5 to 10 people to the community fair. Invite 5 to 10 people to friends and family. I'm asking everybody to do that. Somebody that's in your Rolodex, somebody that's in your sphere of influence, say, hey, I was thinking about you. What are you? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but here, we're having this event, and I would see if you would like to come be a part of it. We need to talk about who we are. Most people, we don't like to talk about our church. We don't like to sell ourselves. If you're not a salesman, you don't understand. If you don't talk and sell what you've got, nobody don't know. I used to think it was self-serving. But Jesus even says about being born again, he says, you've got to confess out of your mouth and believe in your heart. I want to know what you will confess out of your mouth and what you believe in your heart. Is Jesus Lord or not? I find out how my brothers and sisters are going to hear about it. By me sharing it. I got to tell y'all a secret. Everything that God said, he's already done. He's now left up to you and I to accomplish it on his behalf in the world, to carry it out. That's what we're called to do. Servant leaders. We're the servant. We got to get this thing right. So, I thank God for the word today, renewed mind. A renewed mind up in your renewed heart. Now, a pastor who said something, but y'all, most of y'all missed it. Anybody in here know what he meant by his bonus? You know? What did he mean? Ooh, she got it. So he's told you what God promised. He's already past that. And so God's showing you he's living. They're living in the bonus years of God right now. And he's more. All I could think of, Pastor Bruce, all I could think of was Caleb was promised the mountain, the hillside, for the land that would be given his group. 40 years earlier. Never got it. He remained faithful for 40 more years. And his buddy, Joshua, said, Caleb, now is your time. He said, the Lord has instructed that that's your people. This is your land. And he told him, I'm stronger today than I was 40 years ago. Well, I happen to know, this is no slight on him, he's stronger today, I'm talking about Pastor Bruce, and wiser today than he was 40 years ago, or when I met him, some 10, 15, 20 years ago. Much wiser, because of the pursuit of the Word of God. I know what it was. I know what it is. And I want to encourage you. We all can walk in this. God's not a respecter of person. It's good to be able to talk about him, but I want to talk about you. Let's go in. Let's pursue our promises. Amen. Let's pursue what God has given us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get ready for our tithes and offering. Can I get an envelope? Amen. Glory to God. We are a tithing church. We are an offering church. Amen. I got paid last week. I paid my tithe.